This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey, brother. So I've been talking to Patricia. You sent me her information. We've kind of befriended each other. Well, not kind of. We've befriended each other and we've been talking. And she said something interesting to me today that I think would be a good podcast topic, whether with me or someone else or just something for you to riff on, which is that as she's gotten to know me, she said to me today that, hey, you know, when I first heard your podcast, I thought of you as this like spiritual giant, and I was kind of intimidated to talk to you. But the more you share with me, the more I realize that we're all just trying to get through. Like, we're all just trying to do the best we can. And even with people who you might look up to or admire, you're still just struggling humans. And it got me thinking about how often in Christianity we present only our string of victories and we aren't honest about our struggles. And if we are honest about our struggles, we contextualize them only as past things. And now I don't think that it would be super beneficial to just have a griping session just constantly every time a leader or somebody in the church goes to preach and they just start whining about all their life problems. I feel like, you know, I remember you asking me, you know, what was your process to get here? And I said to you, dying? I died. I died 1,000 times. I died and then I died again. If you think about the process of death, it's really not cute, right? Like, you lose your bowels, you lose all the color in your face, it's ugly, and then you begin to stink. Without that process of dying, you don't ever get anywhere. If Jesus had to die, we have to die. So what does that death actually look like? And I think sometimes, I don't know, I think it was Elijah, after the prophets of Baal, and he calls down fire and they all get smoked. And then he finds out Jezebel's after him and he goes running into the woods like a crying little baby. And we look at that and we go, what the heck, my dude? What's wrong with you? How could you have just done that and now you're this? But that's the reality of the situation though. And like all the awesome things I've shared, the encounters with God, the way he's used me, et cetera, they only come because God showed me the depravity of my heart. This fast that Prince and I have been on, oh, sweet blessed Savior. It's been dying day after day after day. God being like, hey, look at how you're a narcissist, Carly. Hey, look at how you idolize yourself over me. Hey, look at this cesspool of hate you actually have for your marriage. Hey, this, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And it's been extraordinarily difficult and humbling. And it's been death. I've been dying. I'm not sleeping. I'm not eating. And I'm constantly being shown what a wretch I am. But that's the reality of it. It's not cute. It's not just me going in my prayer closet very tidily reading the word out loud and all the cosmos just coming back into order. No, it's not that at all. People think that the zenith of spiritual power is the mountaintop with God, but it's not. The zenith of power is the valley of the shadow of death. It's the wilderness where Satan comes to tempt you. That's where it happens. That's where things change. And that's when more of him abides in more of you, right? That's when the darkness that we've been too afraid to look at gets pushed out and he takes up residence. And I just think that to present our Christian walks as a succession of victories is really disingenuous. It's very disingenuous, but nobody wants to talk about how ugly they are because obviously, right? And I just thought to myself, man, I don't ever want to be the kind of influence or leader or whatever over other people that only presents themselves as so tight with the Lord and nothing ever goes wrong. Because honestly, like, as much as I want to be surrounded by people who are trustworthy, obviously, right? I don't ever want to be surrounded with by people who are loyal to me. Not me. If we're doing something together, it's because God said for you to come alongside and do something with me. You understand? Like, Prince is often asked by the pastor in the church that we serve in, what does he want to do? How does he want to serve? To give the pastor a scope of, like, why we're here and what we are looking to do. And Prince is like, I'm here as long as the Lord has me here, and I'm here to serve in the way that he tells me to serve. I'm not here because of you. I'm here because this is where he told me to be. And we're not even there because of the vision. We're not there because of the vision to take the city and see people cross the line of faith. We're there because God said, be there. And whatever that looks like from day to day is what that looks like from day to day. And to be honest with you, I think that the church has really become such a cult of personality that we think we need to find people who are loyal to the vision. And even if God did give us that vision, it doesn't mean that the people who are loyal to the vision are actually obeying God. They just might be gung-ho to see something change. I was telling God this morning in prayer, Lord, I want, like, bring revival, but bring it in the bus stop. Bring it in the Target. Bring it in the office. Bring it in the house where nobody sees. Bring it in somebody's shower while they're taking a shower. Bring it in the schools. Take it out of the four walls of church where somebody can stand up and say, I was pastor when this happened. I fasted and I prayed and God answered. Because it's really just a very passive way of crowning ourselves, let's be honest, right? But if revival breaks out in the bus stops all over the country, who's gonna take credit for that? Nobody. Anyway, I'm on a bit of a tirade, and this is a long message. But I think it's worth talking about, you know? Because otherwise what ends up happening is people end up looking to other people as their source of answers and solutions, and there is no formula. There is no three steps to a better marriage. You have to get in your death with Christ and deal with it. And that's going to look different for everybody. Everybody, that's not going to be a formula. It cannot be a formula. Because it's only in obedience that we see breakthrough. Obedience to God in the moments of our lives, that's it. Nobody can make a three-step guide to that. Who can do that? How you need to be humbled by the Lord is going to be looking completely different than me. Anyway, thank you, brother. I got a little heated with this one because it just hit me so hard. It hit me really hard this morning. Anyway, I hope you have a beautiful, wonderful, awesome, amazing day. Okay, bye.